Let's look in our Bibles this evening to the book of Matthew, to chapter 15. The book of Matthew, and in chapter 15, we'll begin our reading in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. To me, this is one of the strangest of Jesus' miracles. It's just different than the others, it seems, and the things involved in it are different. From our perspective, I suppose that parts of this just sound out of character for Jesus. Just the things that he did or did not do or said and did not say. From our viewpoint and limited understanding, just does not sound like the normalcy of Jesus. Note in verse 22, if you would, this was a woman of Canaan. That's important to keep in mind. She was not of Jewish descent, but she was a Greek, a Gentile. She's one of those whom Paul did write about that was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel and stranger to the covenants of promise. She was not an Israelite. She was not a Hebrew. Hold your place, if you would, and look in Mark chapter 7. In Mark and in chapter 7, notice in verse 26, and here it says, The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Syrophoenician. She was a Phoenician by birth, but she spoke the Syrian language. That's what the Syrophoenician really means. It's just a combination of Syria and Phoenix, or she was a Phoenician by her birth. But here in the coast of Tyre and Sidon, she did speak the Syrian language. In verse 25 of the same chapter, and I go back there in my Bible, I lost it. In Mark 7 and in verse 25, it says, For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Notice the wording here, she heard of him. Even in this foreign land, she had heard of Jesus. What all she heard, I do not really know, but just from the context, I would suppose she heard about the miracle worker. She heard about the works that Jesus Christ had done. I'm sure she probably heard of the teaching of Jesus Christ. Look on over to the book of Luke, if you would. And in chapter 6, Luke, and in chapter 6, and I'll notice verse 17. Luke 6 and in verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. This is at the very beginning, if you notice on down through the chapter, of the Sermon on the Mount. There were people from Tyre and Sidon there at the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe this woman from Tyre and Sidon heard through them of Jesus. This woman has faith enough to seek out Jesus. A woman of Cana. A woman in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Just a reminder in this, I'm going to go to John chapter 3. John, and in chapter 3, you remember the encounter of Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again, born of the Spirit. And in verse 8, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The wind of the Spirit of God had evidently blown even under the coast of Tyre and Sidon to this particular woman that came and sought out Jesus Christ. I'm going back to Matthew 15. This woman had a great need. Her daughter was vexed with a spirit, grievously vexed with a spirit. Her daughter was demon possessed. This woman is seeking out Jesus for help for her daughter. But this woman encountered many obstacles and she had to overcome these in order to get the needed help from Jesus. Some of these obstacles to us will seem very strange, but I'll mention this, that the miracles of Jesus Christ always are miracles of wisdom. The wisdom of God, which is far beyond our understanding and wisdom. And again, they are wisdom, they are miracles for our learning. One of the obstacles this woman had to overcome, strangely enough, was the disciples of Jesus Christ. They stood in her way. In Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 23, it says, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. To them, the disciples of Jesus, this woman was a nuisance, an annoyance. She was a distraction, they thought, to the work of Jesus Christ. And they simply said, just send her away. Look over to the book of Mark, if you would. Let me mention this in Mark chapter 10. In Mark in chapter 10, I'll read verse 13 and verse 14. Mark 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought him, that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. I'll point this out without going into much detail. There is a marked difference in the disciples of Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry all the way up to the crucifixion and through the resurrection. There's a difference in that part of their lives and ministry and that which followed the resurrection of Christ. Before the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, they just seemed cold-hearted at times. Send her away. Don't bring the children to Jesus. They would rebuke those that would bring children unto Jesus. Afterwards, they pleaded with people to come to Christ, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 23, they said, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Notice the word "crieth" here, to the present tense, which means she is continually crying out. It would be as if she were just continually yelling and screaming for Jesus. She had an intent desire to get to Jesus. But the disciples said, "Send her away. She's bothering us. She's interfering with us." Now, put yourself in this woman of Canaan's position. How would you have felt if you had heard the disciples of Jesus say, "Send her away. Send her away"? Well, however she might have felt, she did not let the disciples' words discouraged her. She had faith enough to be persistent in getting to Jesus. After all, it was not help from the disciples that she was seeking. She was seeking help from Jesus. So here's an obstacle she had to overcome. Without sufficient faith, when she heard the disciples what they said, "Send her away," she might have been discouraged, felt defeated, and left. But she remained. Another obstacle that she had to face and overcome was the reaction and the words of Jesus. And again, this seems out of character, but we're not fit and qualified to set in judgment on Jesus. In verse 23, Jesus answered her, "Not a word, not a word." In verse 22, this woman had cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her, "Not a word." Sometimes silence is deafening. Silent, not a word. Let me just mention this. Have you ever experienced the silence of God? You've prayed to God for certain things, but God remains silent. No answer, no response. Hold your place. Look in the book of Psalms, the 28th Psalm. Psalm 28. I'll read verse 1 and verse 2. "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest, if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle." Silence of God does not mean God does not love, and it does not mean God does not care. In the case of this woman, throughout all of this, there's going to be a revealing and an unfolding of her faith that's going to increase, and he's going to expose it more and more. This woman in our text of Canaan experienced the cold hearts of Jesus' disciples. She experienced the silence of Jesus. He answered her not a word. And I'll say again, I'm sure many with less faith than this woman of Canaan would have felt discouraged, disappointed, and would have left, but not this woman. There was not only the silence of Jesus, there's also the words of Jesus. His words, it seems like, maybe appear to be even more harsh than his silence. In verse 24, he answered and said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The disciples said, "Send her away." And it says in verse 24, he answered. Who he's answering here, we're not told, whether the woman or the disciples. But he said to this, and certainly it'd be in the hearing of this woman of Canaan, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, again, looking at this, you might think that these words would quench any hope this woman of Canaan might have had. It seems like his silence and then his first spoken words here seem to just shut her out. "I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Verse 25, it says, "Then." This woman didn't leave discouraged, disappointed. She's on a mission. And she's expressing great, persistent faith here. "Then came she and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" Notice the word worshiped. Have you ever considered what that means? What does it mean that she worshiped? Worshiped. Sort of strange to me, the word worshiped is not defined in Scripture. There's no one set definition of worship in the Word of God. It can mean giving praise unto God. It can mean being thankful unto God. It can mean to do service unto God. It can mean to acknowledge God as God and his attributes and works. Sometimes the word simply means to kiss and to show affection. Sometimes it means just to lie prostrate in front of him in humility. We have worship services. What do we do? What do we do? Everything we do is to the glory of God and the exalting of his Son, Jesus Christ. Nothing for self-gratification. All in a spirit of humility, unworthiness, thankfulness. But again, that word worship has just a broad meaning of things. What this woman did when she came to worship him, I don't know. But I do know she had a spirit of humility. And whatever she did, she honored Jesus Christ. And I do know she had a great faith, a persistent faith. Notice in verse 22, her only plea was for mercy. Just mercy. And you'll notice in this verse, she acknowledged Jesus as Lord. She acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah. Remember in our study on blind Bartimaeus, the son of David signifies the Messiah. In verse 25, she simply said, "Lord, help me." Have you ever prayed that prayer? Just three little words. "Lord, help me." I've prayed that prayer many times. I pray that prayer many times when we're singing the last hymn just before I get up to preach. That's all I think, just, "Lord, help me." There's other times in our life when we might just have this little short prayer that this woman of Canaan had, "Lord, help me." Another obstacle's coming, verse 26. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I mentioned earlier that the miracles of Jesus are miracles of wisdom. And again, there is both the wisdom of God and the love of God in these things, whether we understand it or not. He's dealing in the way that he knows best with this particular woman of Cana. And he said unto her in verse 26, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs." Look in Mark 7 again, if you would. In Mark 7 and in verse 27, "But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." Jesus is taking here the viewpoint of a Jew. They looked upon Gentiles as dogs and themselves as the children of God. In our reading in Matthew 15, and in verse 26, the children, Israelites, Hebrews, dogs, Greeks, and Gentiles. Interesting for me to note, in verse 24, he speaks about sheep. In verse 26, he speaks there about children and dogs. Look with me to Romans in chapter 4. Romans, and in chapter 4. And I'll read verse 11 and verse 12. "And he received the sign of circumcision," speaking of Abraham, "a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believed, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of the circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision." Now you know that one of this group in verse 12, that's the Jews. Those who are not of the circumcision are Gentiles. But Abraham is the father of all who believe. This woman of Canaan was not of the physical seed of Abraham, but she had the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham. Matthew chapter 15, in verse 26, he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord." This woman's remarkable. She said, "Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Now, this woman takes the words of Jesus in verse 26 and uses them to her advantage. She said, "Even the dogs eat of the crumbs of the master's table." She knew she deserved nothing, but she would be satisfied and thankful just for the crumbs, just for a little bit. You might remember Jacob said back in Genesis 32:11 that he was not worthy of just the least of God's mercies. This woman has the same attitude. Just give me some crumbs. I'm not asking for the whole loaf. Just give me some crumbs. The faith of this woman. In verse 27 again, she said, "Truth, Lord." She acknowledged the words of Jesus as being true. The faith of this woman of Cana. I'm going to mention this. Look back to Matthew chapter 8. Have you ever noticed in the miracles of Jesus how faith is associated with miracles? It was with this woman of Canaan. She had faith, persistent faith. In Matthew and in chapter 8, And in verse 13, this is the healing of the centurion's servant. Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." Look over to the book of Mark, and in chapter 2. Mark, and in chapter 2. This is that man of palsy, was crippled, being let down through the roof by friends. In Mark 2 and in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Look in chapter 5. Excuse me, Mark chapter 5. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? In verse 34 of Mark 5, he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." Look in chapter 10, Bartimaeus once again. Verse 52, Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Matthew chapter 9. Here we have two blind men. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." In our text in Matthew chapter 15, this woman of Canaan, in the coast of Tyre and Sidon, had faith. Verse 28 of Matthew 15, then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This miracle of Jesus, the miracle itself is not that unusual. It's just the things surrounding the obstacles in this woman's way. She had faith enough. Just keep coming. Keep asking. We'll close by pointing this out. Look at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. After the encounter with this woman, verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh under the Sea of Galilee, went up into a mountain and sat down there. From all appearances, it appears he went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon just for this particular woman. Just for her. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Our Father, again, we are thankful for another occasion to read and study your word. We know our understanding is so limited, but we're thankful that this account is in the Scripture. We're thankful for the great faith of this woman of Canaan. May it be an example unto us to be persistent in our faith, trusting Jesus. Again, we thank you for all of your blessings. We're thankful again for blood redemption. We're thankful for a secured and accomplished salvation that we have in your Son. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.